never rests.
Organic colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Georgia Show Sunday night, our flagship show, and it's presented by American Pride Bank. Listen, American Pride Bank is a community bank, but they are your trusted partner with a wide array of financial tools and options for you. American Pride Bank is local, it is trustworthy, and it's the perfect partner for you and yours. And anything you need, they've got it. It's one of the fastest growing banks in North Georgia. They got them in Middle Georgia. They're all over the place now, and they're branching out. So check out American Pride Bank. Go to American Pride Bank, AmericanPride.bank, and check out their website right now. It is it's the place to be. I was trying to get it pulled up here real quick, but we're having some gremlins behind the scenes. There we go. Here it is, American Pride Bank, right there. Website. You can open an account. You can get personal. You can go business. All of that stuff. Savings. They've got your tools. Check out AmericanPrideBank.com right now. Now, Roos. We got a big show today. We got some questions for spring practice because it starts in a couple days. I know we've been hyping it for a while. We're going to hear from a new partner. We're going to get into hoops. It's Georgia Dancing. We're getting to pro day. We got a lot going on. But let's just start with our big questions for spring practice because there are plenty of them. And I feel like you put together a good list here that we've kind of already talked about a little bit. We've had some discussions on it. You put together a good list. What's the inspiration behind your list here? And first of all, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. It's good to be back on with you. I feel like you and I haven't done one of these things in a while. So maybe we need to resurrect Bark After Dark here sometime in the near future.
What's that?
Dust it off. Yeah. that just disappeared like a fart in the wind, brother. look, you know, I think for me, this one is I've talked to several people, you know, just walking around daily life, not behind the scenes folks or anything like that. Just people I run into every day. They know what I do. They know what we do. And, you know, people are saying, wow, this is a lot of unknown, man. This is a big spring. You know, this is a big spring, a big fall, you know, a lot of questions to be answered for these Georgia Bulldogs. And I can't say they're wrong, man. I can get down with that. So I think there are some big questions for Georgia going into this spring practice. I think that, you know, they've got some questions to answer as they move into the fall, in terms of who, what, when, and where. And so that was the impetus behind my list, tonight.
Gotcha. Well, let's get to it right away. And,
you could have sounded less interested. Gotcha. I hear what you're saying.
I do hear what you're saying. Like I said, we've already discussed it. I'm not going to feign all this excitement about having, you know, something we've already discussed. I do like answering these questions, though. I have a harder time coming up with them, the hypothetical questions. The group you're watching most closely this spring is who?
Offensive line, I think, is the easy choice for sure, especially with Monroe Freeland being out. But, you know, Georgia's replacing a lot of talent there, man. I mean, they've got guys going to the league, that kind of showed out. You're replacing a center. You've got a guy in Xavier Truss who played a ton for you rotationally all over the place. Dylan Fairchild was a stalwart for you last year. So they've got pieces to replace, and those guys didn't necessarily play up to their potential this year. I think that that's kind of a big one for sure. You know, obviously everybody's going to be watching this quarterback battle. How does that play itself out? I think we've been pretty clear. We believe Gunnar Stockton has the edge there because of his experience, because of what he does in the system. But Ryan Puglisi is such a talented guy, great arm on that kid. He's got a chance to really get in there and make some noise as well. So I think that those are a couple of big ones. And then the one that I don't know that people are talking about enough is defensive back. And I mean that from the cornerback two spot, from replacing Dan Jackson at the safety spot, Malachi Starks. You know, obviously you've got KJ Bolden to put in there. But how does Georgia kind of go about addressing that position? I think that those are a couple that I'm going to be watching pretty closely this spring, Jake, because those are a little bit more unknown than perhaps what we're used to. You've got a lot of talent and a lot of crowded rooms, and that's a good problem to have if you're the Georgia Bulldogs, but still, you got to make sure all the pieces fit and all the pieces can do what you hope they can.
Yeah, I'm with you on those things. Obviously, you have different ways in which you agree with these certain things. Mine is, it's along the lines of scrimmage, and I'm going to start with the offensive line. I look at it like this. Monroe Freeling's out. I've got three questions. Which tackle position is Ernest Green going to play? One. Who's going to play the other tackle position? Two. And is it Daniel Calhoun at right guard or left guard? Is Daniel Calhoun going to step in at guard, or is it going to be somebody else? Because Georgia, in my mind, brings back four starters on the O-line. Monroe Freeling, Ernest Green, Michael Morris, and Drew Bobo, because the four guys with starting experience. And I think those four guys, as long as they're healthy, are going to be a big part of Georgia's plan. Who's 5, 6, 7, and 8? Because we've seen Georgia get to those guys. Who's 9 and 10? And again, if you want to come in and drop the hey, they don't matter. Stacey Searles can't coach. Fine, that's fine. But I do think this offensive line can get better. I think when Kirby Smart is coaching a football team and he says this is deficient, we've got to get better. I think they've done a good job of getting better, and we'll see if it carries through. Because I do think what really matters and it's a guy that's been on the boards for a long time. I've been talking to him for a long time, and he's been telling me this for a long time, and I bucked at it early. All that really matters is the man in the head office. Is that man in the biggest office in the building means more than anything else. And Georgia, I believe, has a really good one. So we'll see how that works out. But I'm looking at the offensive line for that reason. And also, as I've pointed out to you, the ripple effect. The iron sharpens iron part of it. Hey, can the run game, can the running backs really get better if the O-line's not playing well? No. Can the quarterback get anything done? No. Can the line and your pass rushers get any better? No. So that you need to be good up front to improve your football team from the inside out. And I think that's a big part of why Georgia it needs to be better on the O-line and why I'll be watching that O-line. Most likely breakout player this spring. Who you got?
You know, I definitely could see it for one of these receivers. You know, you and I had talked about Sakovi White as a potential guy. That makes a lot of sense to me. It needs to be, in my opinion, if you're talking about a wideout, it needs to be Nitro Tuggle, because it feels like you've had to pull that guy back and back and back, you know. So if yeah. he doesn't, if it's not this spring, man, you may be looking at another, you know, post-spring portal potential for a guy like that. I could see that just because he's tested things like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
he's from Indiana too. So this is not like a kid that you feel like, oh, well, if he can't go to the SEC, then he's not leaving. No, he's not really tied to the region. He's not really tied to the footprint.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. So he's a guy I could definitely see being in that spot. And then the other guy that I mentioned, and you and I talked about earlier as well, I think a guy like CJ Allen, man, can really take a step forward in the eyes of many people. Now, CJ Allen, I used the word regress earlier, and I kind of regret that, because I think what I meant to say more so was that he didn't progress as fast as most people had hoped in his sophomore season. I think that that's really kind of what it boiled down to. Played so many snaps his freshman year and just kind of looked like he was going to be that guy. You know, I think CJ, you know, brings the juice, man. He's a hard hitter. He's a willing hitter. He's a guy who sets the tone. He sets the example. He's a guy that guys follow. And I think that all of that matters in a really big way. I think CJ Allen's a guy who can take a step forward, man. I think that he can, you know, increase his visibility out there. I think he's going to be the heart and soul of this defense. And I think that that really matters for these Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, we're getting some questions in here from our man Slim Jimmy. He's throwing a lot of them at us. He's bringing up our man Ja Jackson. Listen, I think that's a potential breakout player. I really do. I think that's a potential starter. I think Bo Hughley is a potential starter for Georgia along the offensive line. I think those two have a very good chance of kind of entering Georgia's like tackle rotation this year with Freeling, with Ernest Green, and how that works out. From a breakout player standpoint, I like Sakovi White. I think Sakovi was very close last year. A couple nagging injuries, took his legs out from under him a little bit and messed him up and kept him from getting exactly where he wanted to go. But Sakovi is a guy I'm definitely watching and certainly keeping an eye on for spring practice. And you know, Rusty said it before. A lot of you guys have that covered him as a high school recruit. He's a different kid. He's very different in terms of how mature and how how good of a teammate he is and how locked in he is and loyal he is and all of those things. It's what actually it speaks to him and his loyalty and his love for the University of Georgia. They're like, hey, maybe Nitro Tug will break out because Sakovi's going to stick around a little while. And he, right. You know, he's not on the fence. Nitro is. And my Nitro maybe or not. I will say this about Nitro. He does seem to have a very, very strong affinity for Kirby Smart.
Sure. Yeah. I'll tell you another guy that really kind of came into my mind as we were just talking over this, though. And I think because we saw flashes and because the opportunity is going to be there in such
you're thinking about it, it's my spring to break out since Palmer's not around.
Yeah, it's Xavier McLeod.
Okay. I like it.
I think Xavier McLeod, you know, especially with Tyrion Ingram Dawkins making the move, I think that there's going to be more opportunity for him. I can never keep this straight. Is JJA ready to go? Is he going to be full
participant? I don't know yet. As far as what I've heard, I think he's going to be ready to go at some point this spring. I just don't know if it's going to be out the gate. So you're thinking Xavier McLeod may have a chance to kind of help out at DN?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I can definitely see that for sure. You know, Gabe Harris, right? I mean, those are two guys that definitely kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I told people, I said, you know, my starting four going into next season is, Georgia kind of uses a four-man front with three down linemen and an outside linebacker that usually has his hand on the ground too. But I like Gabe Harris, Xavier McLeod, Jordan Hall, and Christian Miller. Christian Miller, here's another thing. Christian Miller and Gabe Harris won't be available this spring. Both of them are dinged up. Both of them had labrum surgery. So they won't be there. We've got another partner to get to. But before we do that, I want to answer a question. Our man Slim Jimmy comes in with a good one. And I think this is a really good one. From your perspective and opinion, what does Gunner do better than Pug, aside from having been in the system longer? Well, first of all, that's a big aside, buddy. That is a huge aside, is the ability to operate and manage that offense. I think Ryan Puglisi is just as good of an athlete, maybe a better, more explosive athlete. I think he's got a stronger arm than Gunner Stockton does. But Gunner Stockton has something that you can't teach, and that is years of experience in letting this game slow down for him to a point that Ryan Puglisi just hasn't gotten to yet. Only experience can do that for you.
I think, too, the other thing that you have to take into account, and it goes into, again, being in the system longer, but it's the trust of teammates, right? I think that that's something that propels things along in a big way. You saw how guys rallied around Gunner Stockton in that Texas game. Notre Dame obviously didn't go the way that they wanted, but, you know, guys were excited for Gunner to get this opportunity. I think they still are, and I think they still will be in the spring.
I'll tell you what, man, he has the team. That quote, that statement, it carries weight. Because the same people that are saying it doesn't matter now with Gunner Stockton are the same people who are telling us it didn't matter with Stetson Bennett. And it mattered. It matters every single time. And I'll never forget the boss man here at On Three, Shannon Terry. The preseason prior to Jalen Hurts' freshman year, he said, listen, there's an Alabama quarterback battle going, but Jalen Hurts has the locker room. He has the team. He has the trust of the team. I think he's going to be the starter. Remember me posting that on Twitter. And Shannon's not an insider like that. You know, like he's not an insider as far as a reporter goes, but he's one of those guys. Like if he says something like that, you may want to listen. And I was like, that's a heck of a way reason to start a freshman, you know, but you know, it's big. It's big to these football coaches. And a lot of us don't think that way. And I'm not, I play video games sometimes too. I get the same thing. Like, you know, we deal with a different type of thing than they do. They're looking for steady, trustworthy, get me to the fourth quarter and we can figure out a way to beat this team with our conditioning, with our mental toughness. That's how they want to win ball games. That's a consistent way to win ball games. And sometimes we just think, oh, just go score a bunch of points and run them out of the building. That's how you win. It's not always the case. Sure. It's not always the case. What is the case, though, is we've got new friends, and our new friends are at Sun Heist, and they're not new friends. They're just friends. Mary and Shane Heist are awesome. They are great people. They live in Jefferson, Georgia. They're local, and they know sunglasses, all right? Protect your eyes and do it with their product because they have lightweight, durable frames. They help you find your fit. You're looking at the website right here. You can go find your fit right here, or you can shop by style. They have a tremendous selection, aviators, lifestyle. I've checked out the Hemlocks. Dude, the Hemlocks are the finest aviators you'll ever put on your face. And let me tell you something. These are not $200 and $300 and $400 sunglasses. These are affordable. They're awesome. It's free standard shipping within the United States and free returns. Listen, I've gotten the chance to know Shane and Mary. And they're great people. They have lifetime warranty on everything, that on all of their frames. And each pair comes with a case, a microfiber cloth, a bag, and a sunglass cord. They have injected polarization that won't delaminate and won't fade over time. And the lightweight frames are just there for all day comfort. You can put these things on your face and they don't go away. Go check out sunheist.com and our friends Mary and Shane Heist. They do a tremendous job. They have a tremendous product, and we're proud to have them as our friends over here at Dogs HQ. So go check them out. Sunheist.com. Protect your eyes. All right, Jake. The coach feeling the most pressure this spring is who?
You know, I think the easy answer is Stacy Searles. All you got to do is click on the board on any given day, every hour, and I'm sure somebody's making a post about how much they hate Stacy Searles.
I'm waiting for somebody to come in the comments and be like, it's Glenn Schumann because he has to carry everybody.
Yeah, sure. Now, I think obviously Stacy Searles is the easy answer. That's probably the go-to answer. There's a lot of pressure on him. I definitely think that you have to go look at Mike Bobo as well. People have those same concerns and complaints when it comes to Mike Bobo, and I'm definitely not saying that they're unjustified in them. I'm saying that those are reasonable as well. I think that both of those guys under an immense amount of pressure. On the defensive side of the ball, though, and this guy came into my mind, I think that it is – probably Dante Williams. And I say that because while we saw Dalen Everett kind of turn the corner there at the end of the year and get better, which was great to see, CB2 struggled all year, and you got to find one this year. Is it Daniel Harris? You got to get Ellis Robinson in this mix at some point. DeMelo Jones is a hell of an athlete. How does he factor into this room? Can he elevate those guys and take them up the ladder as well? And then also, too, Dante's recruiting left a lot to be desired last year as well, comparatively, especially, I think, to the two aforementioned guys. And based on what Georgia's used to at that spot, listen, following Fran Brown was going to be a tough act. Everybody knows that. So easy answers are Searles and Bobo. I think Dante Williams, this is a big spring for him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. Hey, what if Dante gets real hot and has a great recruiting class? Can we call it Dante's Inferno?
Sure.
can I get a motion and a second, we can all go in favor of if he lands a couple of big time recruits this summer, that I get to write a story about Dante's Inferno. That's the way it's got to go. But no, I do think he's set up for a bounce back. I mean, it was tough to recruit in that class. And I'm not making any excuses for him, really. But, you know, when you start looking at different factors and the different ways that things can pitch in as to why you're struggling, I mean, Ellis Robinson and DeMelo Jones are not getting on the field. And they were two of the best cornerbacks in the country from the previous season. You know, Alabama kind of had to reload their room, and then they were able to go get Dejon Lee. And you know, listen, we all know what it comes down to now. It's, hey, am I in position to where I have to pay for this kid? And if you're up against a team that they have to, that they're desperate to, it's hard to win. And that's where the parity's coming from. That's where it's getting tough and tougher and tougher to just stack these guys in these classes, is because a team that really needs them is going to come in. They're going to overpay for them, and you may not need them as badly. So you're not going to overpay for them. And it makes all the sense in the world if you think about it that way, but people don't want to. They want to go ahead and blame it on a coach. And, you know, I look at Josh Crawford from last year, and everybody's like, man, he missed on Usmani Chroma. Come on, guys. Really? Did he? I mean, Usmani Chroma is not committed to Georgia if not for Josh Crawford. Usmani Chroma was kind of an afterthought at Georgia before Josh Crawford got the job. And he comes in, he recruits him, he gets him in the fold. Florida State gets desperate late. They throw a huge bag at him. I'm not going to dodge this crap anymore. It's what happens, and it's not crap either. It's legal. It's perfectly fine. So I'm not sitting here blaming Florida State either. But I'm not going to dodge the whole riffraff. I'm not going to act like it's oh my God, it's he who must not be named. I can't do that anymore. They came in desperate, needing a running back, saying, hey, I'm Gus Malzahn, and I'll run your wheels off. Just look at Trey Mason. You can get all the carries you want. And he liked that opportunity. And, you know, get
an unchained Jake Rowe here.
I'm out here. I'm out here.
You know where to find me.
I'm going to dox myself right here in the comments.
There you go.
All right, next one. The most likely freshman to make noise, not named Elijah Griffin, is they're all going to be making a lot of noise here pretty soon. They're going to be huffing and puffing. But I'll go first here. You know, I've brought up a few different guys just over the, you know, here and there. This one's tough for me because every time I say a guy, I think of three more guys that I feel like I should have said.
Sure.
And, you know, I love those receivers. I really do. But Juan Gaston, Rusty's got me drinking the Kool-Aid. He put it on the table and just let it sit there for long enough. And the ice has melted in it. It's a little watered down now, so I'll drink it. And I'm starting to drink it a little bit. It's Juan Gaston. I think he's got a chance to jump into that top 6, 7, 8 offensive lineman for Georgia this year. And maybe at right tackle.
Oh, that'd be huge, man. God, that's some Andrew Thomas stuff you're talking about.
It would be huge. I just don't know if it's best. Sure. I mean, I guess it is, you know, if they go out there and compete for the job and then they, you know, they win it, then all right, it's best. But I'm not keen on starting freshmen on the offensive line.
Oh, no, of course not. I understand that. I mean, it takes a very rare case to do that. Like I said, Andrew Thomas was the guy who
I think he's the only true freshman under Kirby. I think he's the only true freshman offensive lineman like that.
You know, Talon Taylor, I think, is the easy answer for me anyway, just because he's so fundamentally sound. I think that those are the things that, you know, translate over super easily. You run a good route tree, you understand it. You know, you're in and out of breaks, you're making guys miss. Elusiveness matters in a big way at that position. So that should naturally translate over. Elias Williams is probably, if you hear people say he's a freak of nature, then that's not going to shock me in the least. I'll tell you a guy that I'm really interested to kind of hear the feedback on in a big way, and that's Darren Ikenigbon, because he was very quiet throughout his recruitment. He was a guy that committed to Georgia around this time last year. I believe it was right after G-Day, if I'm not mistaken. Never really made any noise besides that. Perfect frame for it. One of those guys, dual sport athlete. I could see a guy like Ikenigbon being a little bit made up, a little bit made of some special sauce, man. I think that he fits in well. That's another position that's tough to get on the field early. But look, if you can get to the quarterback, you can get to the quarterback. And that's a skill that can find its way onto the field.
Darth, I need to tell you something here, buddy. If you just want us to go list by list and person by person in the class, we'll do that. We'll do that sometime for you. No, I mean, Isaiah Gibson's another one. There's so many. That's sure. What I'm saying. There's so many different guys to pick from. Like, literally, when I say Juan Gaston, like, I'm thinking C.J. Wiley. I'm thinking Talon Taylor. I'm thinking Isaiah Gibson. I'm thinking Ethan Barber. Elias Williams. Like, I've got everybody on the brain. It was a very talented class. Believe it or not, and I know if you were around and you paid attention around this recruiting class when they signed it, believe it or not, it is the number 2 ranked class in the country. It was not an abject failure. It was not the worst class in the history of college football. But you know, for some reason, every time Georgia leads for a guy now, you'll have some wahoo jump in and say, well, yeah, we lead until somebody steals him at the last minute. Nobody's doing much better job of holding on to him than Georgia with number 1 and number 2 classes back to back. Right now they're number 18 though. So you know, it's looking pretty good.
But listen, like I say, all this NIL stuff and rev share stuff has all changed things in such a big way, man. And so, like, the recruiting calendar has shifted. You know, Rusty and I were talking about that the other day. I mean, can you remember really, Jake, a 2-month stretch that's been this quiet on the recruiting front? Guys are just in holding patterns right
yeah.
now. I mean, across the country. And that's not like people.
Feel like that's been building though? Like you feel like it's been getting quieter quieter. I feel like it's been quieter and quieter every year and just kind of building to this radio silence that we're almost getting right now. There's so few commitments. Alabama Absolutely. Got like 2 a couple weeks ago and it was a bonanza.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, to me, we exist in the microcosm of Georgia football, but this is a nationwide thing. You're not just seeing commit announcements, bing, 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 popping off, right? Everybody is seemingly waiting to take these visits. And so I'm really intrigued to see how those visits shape things.
I'm surprised you didn't get to hit that Kendrick Lamar right there. You didn't get us a copyright violation, that boom, bop, bam thing. Bing, bing, bing. A lot of onomatopoeia there. Yeah, we're getting a lot of good names in here. You know, another one that somebody brought up was this guy right here, Stacy. I can't get rid of Stacy Searles. I haven't tried, but I know I can't, so I'm not going to try. So, you know, Kirby wants him around. You know, talk to Kirby about it. And just don't fix your hair before you take that selfie with him. Make sure you talk to him about why he didn't get rid of Stacy Searles if you run into him in a grocery store, okay? Because I don't know if I would have made a change after the year or not, but I thought Kirby would make a change at that position. I really did. I didn't think it would sit well that they didn't find any way to get better or find any answers, and apparently they feel like they've, you know, can find the answers without making big personnel changes, and they get paid the big bucks to do it. I get paid the small bucks to talk about it. So MyPerfectFranchise.net. If you're tired of making small bucks and want to make big bucks, listen, Andy's got no guarantees, but Andy Ludeke knows how to get you going. If you're a displaced corporate executive, or if you are just somebody that wants to take your career and your future into your own hands, go check out Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net. He's a franchise veteran and a phenomenal businessman. We have had some tremendous success stories just within our market and in other markets. Where Andy, you know, he gets the word out. He finds your fit. He helps you with his thorough consultation and evaluation process. Find your dream. He helps you move forward and figure out, hey, where can I go and how can I control and be my own boss and have my own thing. That's what Andy does for a living, and he wants to help you out. Go check him out, MyPerfectFranchise.net. We appreciate Andy for being a longtime partner over at Dogs HQ. All right, Pro Day is upon us. We talked about Jalen Walker a little bit earlier. I'm of the opinion Jalen's playing with a very small flame here. It's not a big one, but maybe a candle, maybe a cigarette lighter with the thing turned all the way down so it lasts longer. Something small, but I am worried he's playing with a little bit of fire here. He skipped the combine, then gets dinged up, and now he doesn't do Pro Day. I don't think
how sure are we that he wasn't dinged up prior to?
We don't. We're not. Feel like we would have heard that. I think so
yeah. As well.
Yeah, I feel like that would have trickled out at the combine. But so I'm assuming, and you know, I listen. I'm not immune to looking like an ass. I probably daily, but I'm assuming that's the way it went down. And I just think just a little bit of fire there, just playing with a little bit. So be careful, Jalen.
Sure. No, I agree. Look, this is the risk you run if you don't do the combine. You back yourself into this corner, and now you're kind of sitting here saying, okay, now I'm with you. I don't think that this is necessarily going to cost Jalen Walker a ton. We're talking about, I would say, maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 spots possible. Maybe it won't affect anything, Jake. I mean, the tape says what it says. I think people understand he's a heck of an athlete. He's going to have those private workouts as well. He's going to interview great. He did interview great. You heard that along the way. So I don't think that this is necessarily a detriment to a guy like this. Could it be the difference in him going 8 versus 15? Yeah, that might be the case. I could kind of see that. And if that benefited my Atlanta Falcons, that would be all right. But I do think that that's a case where we're kind of splitting hairs. Jalen Walker, to me, I don't think that this impacts him as much as it would impact some guys.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't think it's going to knock him out of the first round or anything. I just, if you're looking at it from a 32-team standpoint, right, and you're sitting here thinking about, all right, well, maybe you go into this with, if you work out at the go into the combine with all 32 teams having a top 25 grade on you, and then you don't work out at the combine, and some of them are like, okay, well, we still got top 25 grades on him, but maybe he's a little bit further back because there's some stuff we don't know. Let's wait till Pro Day. We'll move him up at Pro Day if we like what we see. Now he's not going to participate at Pro Day because of an injury. Now you're kind of like, okay, is this kid hiding something? You know, has he not been running his 40s as well as he's been, or is he not, you know, has he not been, you know, doing the cone drills and all this stuff, like it are some times kind of disappointing for him right now. And he's trying not to let those get exposed. So I think that you kind of end up with those questions. Now, sometimes things are just fine for these types of guys, but usually it's kind of those undeniable massive production guys, which I don't necessarily consider Jalen. I consider him a guy that took a little while to kind of find his niche and earn his keep as a really true edge and inside linebacker combo guy. You know, I still think the other guys have it's more important for other guys, obviously, like Dan Jackson and Chaz Chambliss. Really big for them because they didn't get to go to Pro Day. And I wouldn't be surprised to see both of those guys get drafted. You know, it's also massive for Mykael Williams, who, like Jalen Carter, kind of kicked the can, or Jalen Walker kicked that can down the road and decided he wanted to work out at Pro Day rather than the combine.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I think Mykael, you know, he's a guy that I've seen as high as like 2 in mock drafts. He's a guy I've seen as low as like in the 20s in mock drafts. So he's a guy, it feels like that there's a big disparity here. He can maybe answer some of those questions, kind of level his stock out one way or the other. I'm definitely intrigued to see how his pro day goes. I think it'll be interesting feedback for him, but definitely a guy who can increase his stock in a big way, I think. Not that he necessarily needs it, Jake. Like you said, the tape is there on Mykael Williams. It tells people the story.
Hey, man, dealing with Georgia fans is my blessing, okay? I love you guys. I really do. Y'all are an absolute trip. Listen, I'll mix it up. I do it every day. I do it every day of my life. I go in there and I mix it up with Georgia fans, and I enjoy it. And I think some people think sometimes I get frustrated about it. I don't, man. Like we can sit here and I get passionate about it too. I went to the University of Georgia. There's a reason I cover Georgia football. I followed this team my whole life. Like all the way through the 90s and you know, the hard times and the good times. Like, I'm just as passionate about it as you guys are. I just have to be professional about it. And you know, sometimes, listen, you guys are wild. You guys say wild stuff. You can call my man Stetson Bennett a midget. I'll never forget it. Listen, I'm shorter than Stetson Bennett. What do you think about me? All right.
That was so combative.
Hey, Brandon, listen, I want to say this too. All those NFL linemen, they couldn't block a duck. I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. I was shocked that they didn't figure it out as the year went on. And I thought they had it against Tennessee. You know, they come out, they run the ball fairly well, but they really pass protected extremely well against Tennessee. And I was like, man, Georgia's found something. It finally clicked with the O-line. They finally started to play well. But, dude, Brandon, I'll tell you right now, first game of the season, Georgia couldn't run the ball. They couldn't protect the quarterback, and they had all sorts of assignment busts, right? Last game of the season against Notre Dame, they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't protect the quarterback, and they had a bunch of assignment busts. So, there's no excuse for it. They've just got to get it fixed. And apparently Kirby thinks they can get it fixed without mass changes along the coaching staff. Last but certainly not least, for the first time, 10 years, and it's not official, but it's a fact and it's a certainty, Georgia's going to make the NCAA tournament. And then I only talk about it in absolutes because I know how it cracks you up. Georgia's making the NCAA tournament for the first time in 10 years. And we listen, it's good news for the University of Georgia. They don't have to pay Mike White's buyout by firing him right now.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, look, 20-11, Jake, against probably the greatest conference that's ever been assembled in the history of college basketball. They're the 11th seed in the tournament, their own conference tournament. And I think you said earlier, they'd probably be an 8 or 9 seed in the NCAA tournament if it were slated today. So
yeah, I think they would be.
Yeah. I mean, a 4-game winning streak to finish this year off. You needed what, like 2 of the last 4, you would say, maybe to say like, maybe like you could probably justify it on 2 of the last 4. Instead, they go 4 of the last 4 kind of.
They needed 3. They needed three of them.
They put doubt aside. They shut all doubt down and did what they needed to do. So I think that, it's got to be encouraging, man. You got to feel better about the position of this team moving into this. And, you know, you and I talked about it earlier. I agree with you in the idea that this is a team that can potentially get to the NCAA tournament, make some noise, because if they can avoid playing these SEC teams – look, they've been through the grinder, man. I mean, they know how to win against tough opponents, and they played tough opponents all year in conference. It might be a sigh of relief to get up against somebody that's not in the SEC in the next level. But interested to see how the conference tourney goes for them. Obviously, that Oklahoma game, I feel pretty good about their chances with that one. Kentucky's kind of hot right now. Be interested to see how that one goes for them. But definitely an intriguing one to watch moving forward.
You know, it's interesting. This team has 4 quad one wins, which is very important in the net rankings. They're up to number 30 in the net rankings, which is what the NCAA tournament looks at. They're right behind Oregon, Ole Miss, and Michigan, who are at 29, 28, and 27. If you look at the net rankings, this is what the SEC has been this year. You've got Auburn at number 2, Florida at number 4, Tennessee at number 5, Alabama at number 6. So you've got 4 of the top 6 teams are SEC teams. Georgia had to play 2 of those teams twice this year, Auburn and Florida. Then Kentucky comes in at number 13. So that's 5 inside the top 15. Texas A&M comes in at number 16. That's 6 inside the top 16. Missouri is at 21. And then obviously you got Ole Miss there. Georgia is sitting there. I think it's like 8 in the net rankings. And it's unbelievable, man. You got 8 teams in the top 30 just from the SEC. And, you know, and Georgia also played St. John's, who's also ranked in there. And that's one of Georgia's best wins on the year. They're 27-4. Georgia handed them one of those. This league has been unbelievable this year. It's been the toughest league I've ever experienced since I started covering college basketball. And on top of all of it, Georgia has had to play 8 teams inside the top 10. And they've got it done. I think if you look back at Georgia's previous NCAA tournament teams, they would have slapped all of them down and beat them up pretty good. And I also think that, this team is a 25-win team a lot of other years in the conference. But I also understood the criticism at one point in the year where it seemed like they were melting down in the second half, week after week, and games that shouldn't have been close were becoming losses after they had, big leads at halftime. So they found a way to fix that. They won 4 straight games when 2 years ago in Mike White's first season, they needed to win 4 out of 5, I think it was, or 3 out of 4 to have a chance to be on the bubble and get into the tournament. And they just completely flopped and lost like 5 or 6 straight to end the season. This year, they won 4 straight to remove all doubt. And now they've got an opportunity to get a win in the first round of the SEC tournament against Oklahoma. And if they could get 2, I really do believe 6 or 7 is possible for them. And if you put them in that spot, I think Georgia could be a Sweet 16 team because of the competition that they faced all year. They're not going to be intimidated by anybody.
Wouldn't that be something? God, wouldn't that be crazy to see?
Yeah, it would. It would be absolutely wild. The thing I love about it is, and they say it every year, guard play in March, right? Guard play in March is so important. Silas Dimery, there's not a point guard in the country that's playing better, more consistent basketball than he is right now. Blue Kane finds a way to help you win games just about every night. Tyron Lawrence has really stepped up his game. The 4-game win streak coincides with Tyron Lawrence coming back from a hamstring injury, I believe it was. And then, you got Dakota Lefeu, who is a fantastic defender and a guy that can go knock down some threes, had a great senior day, I guess, for Georgia against Vanderbilt in that win. So, yeah, you're 11th in your own conference. You'd be in a lot better shape if you found out a way to close out that Arkansas game. That one is haunting you right now because Arkansas is ahead of you in the tourney, in the conference tourney, and you had a big lead at halftime there that you couldn't close that game out. You'd be 9-9 in the SEC. A couple wins would give you a post 500 record, and you may be able to be a 5 or 6 seed. It definitely changes things, but all you can deal with is what you got, and you're in the tournament, which is a good thing.
Absolutely, no doubt about it.
We appreciate you guys. We appreciate our partners. We appreciate everybody. We will be back later on this week. And when we come back to you, we will have seen a little bit of spring practice, I assume. You never know if Kirby's actually going to let you see practice. Maybe. But, we hope to have seen a little bit of spring practice. We will at least have talked to Kirby, and he will have given us a rundown about the injury situation, maybe some position changes or guys working at new spots. We know they're thin at some spots. There's so much to cover. Be with us over at Dogs HQ. And this is the Georgia Show presented by American Pride Bank. Y'all take it easy.